It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What does the business world think about the fiscal cliff?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, President Obama will talk with a dozen CEOs about the coming fiscal cliff. It's part of an effort to reach out and hear from different groups about their concerns. Yesterday, the president met with labor leaders and progressives. But today's group of CEOs is not very Wall Street heavy, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Walmart has a seat at the table, so does Ford, IBM, and Xerox. But the only financial services firm is American Express. That doesn't bother Catherine Wild, who heads the Partnership for New York City. That's a group that represents the leaders of many companies based in Manhattan.
I'm sure that as the White House moves forward, they are going to be turning to Wall Street and the financial services industry to support them, and I know they'll be there.
Wild says executives have been frustrated over the last 18 months. They've wondered why lawmakers haven't been able to agree on any long-term solutions.
America's business community is just not going to leave things to Washington this time around.
Jim Kessler is the co-founder of a think tank called Third Way. He says the election changed things.
There was a lot of wait and see among business.
Now executives, including Wall Street executives, know who the players are, Kessler says, and the ones he's talked to want a deal. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, for more on the fiscal cliff and what it means for you, let's get to our Money Matters segment, in which we look at how the big economic issues of the day affect your wallet. Patty Hirsch is the senior producer of personal finance at Marketplace, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Patty, is there another analogy we ought to be using besides fiscal cliff? I mean, it sounds pretty scary.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a very effective analogy. I don't think we need another one. I mean, essentially what it's saying is that, you know, if the fiscal cliff happens or if this sequence of events occurs, then spending will fall like a man tumbling off the edge of a cliff and the economy could go with it. I think it's a very effective analogy.
Explain exactly what happens if we do go over that fiscal cliff.
Two things will push us off the fiscal cliff, right? Firstly, there's these cuts to government budgets, which could leave a lot of people out of work and therefore spending less. And then the expiry of these tax cuts, which means that taxes would rise for many people and therefore those people would spend less. So what we're talking about is a lot less spending by a lot of people and therefore a contraction in the economy.
And, you know, we spoke earlier this week with Mohammed El Arian at PIMCO, the world's largest bond fund, who said that that would translate to a cut of at least a percent, maybe more, in growth in this country.
Right, because, you know, the economy, our economy is so dependent on consumer spending that if you've got a bunch of people that stop spending, like a significant proportion of the population decides to stop spending, to stop buying stuff, it means less stuff's going to get made. Therefore, there's less demand. So companies are going to hire less. In fact, they might start laying people off. And that's going to see like this real squeeze on the economy. It's going to be very unpleasant.
So is there anything that people can do to prepare for this? Obviously, we don't know if we're going to go off the fiscal cliff, and we might not know until, I don't know, what, an hour before we get to the fiscal cliff. But is there anything people can do to prepare either way?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're one of these people who might lose their jobs, if your job is threatened, then the one thing you should really do is get as fat as emergency fund as you possibly can, you know, because you want to have a cushion there that can cushion you through any hard times. And obviously, there's not a lot of time before the end of the year,
right.
But those job cuts may not happen until, you know, later on in the year. Now, if you're part of a group whose taxes might go up, and the chances are that you are, because these tax increases, if they all kick in, will affect 90% of U.S. households in some way. We could see like $3,500 go up in taxes on each person. So, you know, you need to find out whether or not you're going to be affected. You need to get with a tax advisor, start reading and find out what you're in for and then prepare that way.
Okay, so get with your tax advisor, have an emergency fund. I feel like you'd be telling us this even if there weren't a fiscal cliff on the way, Patty.
It's true. These are the usual personal finance bromides. It's true.
Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer of Personal Finance. You can find out more about the fiscal cliff by going to our website, marketplace.org, and watching Patty's whiteboard video all about it. Patty, thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up 1.2% in Hong Kong, but down 0.5% right now in London. Here in this country, the number two official at the Federal Reserve said yesterday interest rates may need to stay near zero for a bit longer than expected until 2016. And people are listening closely because Janet Yellen, who said that, is seen as a possible successor to Ben Bernanke. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 58 points to close at 12,756.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Today, California starts a new chapter in its effort to fight climate change. The state will auction off allowances to emit more than 60 million tons of carbon. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
There's no gavel. It's all done on computers. On the virtual auction block, millions of permits. Each one covers a metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions. The carbon trading system only applies to the state's biggest emitters, think utilities. Any company that emits CO2 beyond its state-imposed limit has to get permits to cover the extra.
Another cost has been injected into the business world.
Lawrence Goldenhirsch runs Enviance. Its software helps companies track how much they emit.
And in order to remain competitive, these companies need to effectively manage their carbon costs just like other costs, like inventory.
Goldenhirsch says those most affected have invested heavily to track emissions, even as they fought the law. Patrick Pfeiffer follows carbon trading for the company EOS Climate. He says the auction will help businesses.
Help them determine the price of carbon in their operations and whether or not certain upgrades make sense now.
The California state budget assumes $1 billion in carbon auction revenue in the next year. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, it always feels better to have a nice crisp dollar bill in your wallet rather than a worn out, wrinkly one, doesn't it? But would you purposely waste money just to get rid of the old bill? Well, you just might, according to a new study from the Journal of Consumer Research, which says consumers think of worn bills as contaminated, whereas crisp bills give them a sense of pride. That's a quote. So here's the question of the day. Would you rather have a clean, crisp $10 bill in your wallet or a dirty, wrinkly $20? Go to our Facebook page and vote. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.